I grew up in Illinois on a place that had 7 acres of land. And so my brother and I were constantly going exploring all over the place. There was a creek and all kinds of interesting features out there. And from a very early age, I started making maps of our land. You know, this is where we saw the snake sunning on the rock, or this is where we saw this. How many steps it was from one thing to another. For some reason, I was fascinated with the whole idea of maps. And I've read about sort of the whole background and history of mapping and found a reference that said this about an ancient map of the known world. That at that time, the world was thought to be flat, and so there were edges to this map that hadn't been explored yet. They weren't the known world. And around the edges of the map were the words that said, "Beyond this point be dragons." In our gospel reading today, to a great degree, we're talking about what waits over the edge of the map. We're talking about death, both physical and death to self. And these are both things that are unimaginable to us in our human psyche. We look and people tell us, well, you have to die to self. Or we think about physical, mortal death, and we think, I can't even go there because beyond this point be dragons. This is the edge of the map in human experience. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The irony is that the more we venture past the edge of the map, the more we learn of God, but then the more questions we have about God. And when we venture beyond that known world, we see more possibilities that we can recognize for our own lives. As I said, I have a fascination with maps, and I know this is very goopy, but I've always wondered who first thought to draw a map. Who first thought of that? Who thought this is a good idea? Especially a map of a large area. Maps were in existence far, far, far before flight. So who decided that we could make our way by picturing the land around us from above? Who first thought of that idea? Who first imagined what the world looked like from the heavens and used that image to navigate the earth? Who envisioned this picture from above and translated it into a way to get past mountains and rivers and to get through forests? Someone had to go first, beyond the edge of the world where there might be dragons, and come back to tell about it. In our faith tradition, that person is Jesus. We're talking today to some degree about dying to self. Jesus got a look at what that choice would involve right after his baptism. The self, after all, would have succumbed to a chance in the desert to be the world's hero on the world's terms. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, led Jesus into the desert. The Spirit took him to a place where he could clearly and immediately see what human flesh could be tempted to do to keep self alive and in control. We speak of the temptations in the desert or the wilderness. Always sounds like a rock band to me, Jesus and the temptations. But we have these lessons about keeping the self in control in the three temptations. One is feed yourself and the multitudes. One is test and manipulate God for your own use. One is worship the devil to get power over the world. These are all options that are very attractive to the human self. They're off the edge of the map for us to push back against those. Even the disciples who had followed Jesus feared the edge of the map. The fear of the dragons led Peter to rebuke Jesus for suggesting Jesus would suffer. Peter's reaction mimics one we often have in our current faith, in our life of faith. We hear these stories of crucifixion and we say, this is the good news? Maybe Peter doesn't hear the part about rising from death, given the horrors on the horizon. He couldn't go there. He couldn't think about it because beyond this point, the dragons. So he was blinded by his own preconceptions of what the Messiah would be. Perhaps part of the reason for this declaration that Jesus makes in today's passage is really that he didn't want to recruit disciples under false pretenses. He wanted them to know that this would not be an easy route. And he wanted them to know that he had chosen it. Because if he had not chosen the way of suffering, the cross, he wouldn't have had much credibility with humans who endure the suffering he claimed he would deliver us from. In a way, Peter sounds like he's encouraging Jesus, but Jesus recognizes in his words avoidance of the cross, and he sees it as a reprise of the temptations in the desert. Keep the self alive at all costs, for beyond this place be dragons. And yet the denial of self is deep, and it's transformative. It's a time when we make ourselves not an end, but a means for the kingdom of God to become visible. I don't know about you, but in my life I've seen that very often the surest way to lose life in its larger possibilities is to care too much about preserving it. Our culture glorifies the vanity of preserving looks, money, power. We preserve our looks, and in doing that, we say that the superficial is more important than the substantial. We preserve our money and sometimes let others suffer while we hoard something we can't take with us. We preserve our power, but power unused to help others cripples rather than freeing, because we live our lives in fear that someone else is taking it from us. And so we deny ourselves. We take up the cross and make a deliberate choice of something that could be evaded. I used to work with the woman that I thought of as my cross to bear. But she probably thought the same about me, actually, now I think about it. But when we use the phrase, they're just my cross to bear, very often we're talking about something we can't avoid. Like, okay, I can't get around this, I can't get away from this person, they're just my cross to bear. Jesus chose to bear his cross. He made that choice to take upon himself the burdens of other lives, and we are asked to do the same. The disciples, like us, feared the dragons beyond the edge of the known world. They wanted to stay on the map. They wanted the Messiah to look as they expected a Messiah to look. We have to think about their frame of reference, though, and think, what had they seen before that might cause them to hesitate at the edge of the map? Had they seen someone like Lazarus, resuscitated, brought back to life, but still subjected to the pains of this life? Because when Lazarus would be resuscitated, he would just have more of the same life, not a new life. He would still be vulnerable to the things of mortal existence. Even now, as Christians observing Lent, we, or at least I, prefer to think only of the healing, compassionate Jesus or of the triumphant Christ we'll celebrate on Easter Day. I don't really like hearing very much about the cross. I worry about preserving myself. But if we worry too much about preserving self, we avoid uncomfortable talk, as Peter did, about Jesus' suffering and death. These words to us sound extreme and fanatical, We want to say to Jesus, look now, Jesus, we have to be practical and look out for number one. And this talk of the death of self, of crosses, it just isn't practical in our time. The theology of the cross contradicts everything that people imagine God should be. But if we embrace it, it takes us to a place where God imagines what people could be, denying self. We can be pushed to things that we never would have dreamed we could do. Our reaction might be, I can't do that. Can I? That's beyond the edge of my map, and out there be dragons. Without the crucifixion, regular people like us couldn't see the triumph of resurrection. In the early church, some of the greatest heresies were ones that claimed that Jesus wasn't truly human. He didn't really suffer as ordinary humans do. So why venture past the edge of the map? Why invite the death of self if there's nothing out there for ordinary humans? Beyond this point be dragons in our perspective. So we say, I'll stay on the map of the known world. Thank you very much. Discipleship is what we're talking about. And discipleship, far more than religion, involves giving up our own lives through sacrificial love and then being surprised to find out that indeed we have received. In those small deaths to self, which we practice during the Lenten season, we go beyond the edge of the map and we find not dragons, but freedom to be the people God chose us and called us to be. The paradox is that the more we forget about self, the more fully developed and the more authentic the self becomes. One author said of this passage, as long as the self reigns, we will forever be seeking painful shortcuts to the kingdom. We may seek shortcuts, or we may just be content to stay here safely on our cramped little map of the known world. God's asking us to explore what lies beyond in the depth of the self. I don't see me doing that as often as I should. After all, beyond this point, be dragons. Amen.